His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
That was awesome. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. As we conclude our time this morning, we are committed at Lakeside Fellowship to always get the meaning for anything we do, for anything we celebrate, for any decision we make. We always want to go to the Word of God. And so it'd be fitting this morning when we have the kids singing and special music and the Christmas story being read to actually look at the Word and what does it say, and what is the significance of just gathering together. Is it just a day on the calendar we can all gather together? So I just want to look at one part of the Christmas story this morning. And so there's a handout. Scripture is going to be up on the screen as well. I'm actually going to read just verses 8 through verse 14. And what I want to do is spend a couple of moments as we conclude our time just looking at the sign that was given, this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And what does it mean that that was a sign? And so let me read Luke 2. I'll try to do it as well as Mr. Roger did it, or Roger, I guess his name is. Luke chapter 2, I'm just going to read verses 8 through 14 for our concluding time here this morning. And in the same region, verse 8 of Luke 2, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now let me just stop right there for a second. That's very significant, because in the nation of Israel, the glory of the Lord had come at different times. Abraham was surrounded by the glory of the Lord when he was to go from Ur of the Chaldees. And you might remember a more popular story when Moses went up to Mount Sinai. He was surrounded by the glory of the Lord. And when he came down, his countenance was actually, it was like the ultimate tanning booth. I mean, he was different from being in the presence of the Lord. Ezekiel wrote, sad Ezekiel, he wrote about having a vision of seeing the glory of the Lord, this brightness of God leaving the temple. Paul said that when he was riding his high horse on the road to Damascus, that he was knocked from his horse and the Lord was shown all around him. But for 500 years before Christ came, there was no presence, visible presence of God whatsoever. The Jews had almost given up on whether God's coming back. Is the Messiah coming? That might be part of the reason why when the wise men go to Jerusalem and they're asking the Jews, well, where is the Messiah to be born? They kind of nonchalantly said, well, Micah said, you know, in Bethlehem, if you want to go down there and kind of take a look at it. But it's been 500 years since we've heard from God. I mean, can you imagine coming to church for 50 years, you sing and you go home, the pastor just doesn't have anything to say today? Well, maybe that'd be a good thought to you. I shouldn't have said that. So the glory of the Lord shone all around them. There's a lot in that little phrase. And they were filled with great fear, as anybody who was in the presence of the glory of the Lord was. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Circle the all. Verse 11 and verse 12 are really the meat of what I would like to conclude with this morning. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign," and we're going to focus in, well, what is that? "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. And so you have the angel giving the announcements, but then the other angels join in and they start praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those whom he pleases." So if you put your eyes back up on verse 12, whether you have a handout or your electronic device or even it might be up on the screen here or in your Bibles, I want to focus in on this word, the word sign. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now get the significance of this, and that is actually a play on words. The word sign is literally the original meaning. It's an identifying mark. It's something that points to something or someone. It gives an indication about that person or someone. It reveals something about them. It's something that communicates information. So if God's going to give you a sign, it's going to be something that communicates information about him. We use the word kind of in our own vocabulary, and I know that I've used it before. Here's how we use it. We use it kind of negatively. I hope that's not a sign of what? Things to come. And so it's we use it in our vocabulary kind of point to what, man, I hope when I felt called to full-time ministry and we were leaving Sailorville Church, we had a Ryder truck filled up. We had a Mercury Sable station wagon filled up with stuff that we were pulling behind the Ryder truck, and we had a little caravan that we were driving behind. We had way too much stuff to move our family of five kids out to Pennsylvania. And we had a dear friend of ours, Art Cross, driving the Ryder truck. We met at Sailorville Church, and we're going to take off and try to make it 10 hours the first day. He pulled out on a snowy morning, about 6:30 in the morning. He pulled out, took a left-hand turn, went 20 yards. A deer ran across the road, and with the biggest Ryder truck they had, he smoked the deer. I'm standing behind there. The deer goes cartwheeling and falls in the ditch, and somehow right in Sailorville Township, and somehow kind of staggered around and walked away. And I can remember saying to my wife as we're heading out of town, fearful about what God had before us, man, I hope that's not a sign of things to come. And it wasn't. God blessed. So what is the sign that God was going to give us to reveal something about himself? What was the sign that was going to be a sign of things to come? And here it is. Just think about it and think about the wonder of this. Here's the sign. A babe is going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's going to be lying in a manger. And if you're the shepherds, which they're very humble and they're very joyful, but if you were the wise men or if you were the Jewish people that day, God, we waited 500 years to hear from you, and the sign that you're going to give us that you're here is that there's going to be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem? Come on, God, you've got to give me more than that. You've got to give me more than that. Now, we have English words that come from this word as well. A signal, that comes from this same root word. Signify, it signifies something. Or significance, that comes from the idea of a sign. And so we want to say in our moments as we close this morning, what is the significance of the sign that God gave the shepherds, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger? What's the significance? So put on your thinking caps with me for a couple of moments, and let me point out a couple of things that the sign of a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger pointed to. Let me give you a couple of them quickly. The first thing I think it points to, right in the text, it's a sign that points to the humanity of Jesus. God wanted us to know that he took on human flesh, became the perfect 100% God and man so that he could be our Savior. So it points to the humanity of Jesus. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby. You'll find a baby. It's the ordinary word for a newborn child. This church often gets the sign of the newborn baby. We have a bunch of those in our church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the ordinary word. And so the sign was, this Messiah that's coming, he's going to be born a human, just like everybody. He's telling us that Christ was going to come into the world just like we all do. Flesh, blood, diapers. That's pretty funny, isn't it? I just had this thought in my mind that apparently it's not sinful to have a diaper. Jesus was in diapers. But so the virgin birth, Isaiah told us about that. But Micah, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, told us about a village birth. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now think about it. The virgin birth really dealt with conception. His birth was, for that time, normal. There was nothing miraculous about the actual birth itself. The conception was an unbelievable miracle of a virgin conceiving. But the actual delivery itself was normal. And so when we get this sign, I think God is pointing to this Messiah. He's going to be 100% human. That's going to be a sign of things to come. This Messiah is going to be human. He's going to weep. He's going to be hungry. He's going to be tempted, yet without sin. Now, one thing before I leave this little, what this sign is pointing to, it was a sign of things to come, but I want you to notice that the sign is focusing on the baby and not the parents. Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There's no mention of parents. Now, they're there, but that's a sign of things to come. Really, not that anybody is unimportant. But you hear very little about Joseph after this. You hear a little bit when Jesus is 13, then he drops off of the map. And then Mary, she has a significant part every so often, but by the time you get to the book of Acts, you don't even hear about her. We don't know how she died. The sign is pointing to the baby, not the parents. Don't lose sight of that. It's truly a sign of things to come. John 1:14 that Nathan quoted earlier says this, But the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The baby was a sign that was going to be the Word of God taking on flesh. Galatians 4, Paul said, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. This baby, this Messiah was real. You could touch this child. So certainly it was a sign of the humanity of Jesus, but also was a sign that pointed to the humility of Jesus. The humility of Jesus. This is going to be a sign of the things to come. This was going to, the way he was born in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, was going to be the way it went in his life. He later, when he was adult, he told someone, I really had nowhere to lay my head. The humblest of origins. Now, I got a couple of pictures up here, and I'd like to show them. This is actually a fairly modern photo of a couple of twins from Pakistan. And what you'll notice is, and this is what they do and still in a lot of countries today, they'll take a newborn baby and the swaddling clothes literally means strips of linen. Okay? That's what swaddling means. So they'll wrap them in linen or strips of linen and they'll tie their arms down to the side for their health, for their posture. And so think about the humility of the way that Jesus came into the world. It says that he was wrapped in strips of linen. Don't forget that thought. We'll come back to it. And he was born in a manger. Now go to the next picture. And I just want to remind you that our Christmas scenes almost always have a wooden manger. That's probably, almost certainly, not the way it was when Jesus was born. This is a picture Deb and I had taken of us over in Bethlehem. And there's a couple of places that Jesus might have been born, and one of them has a big church built over top of it, and kind of takes all of the sensational part of it away because you see this big modern structure over. But this is another place that was off the side of the road that the guide took us, and so it goes back under, and they would have kept the animals under, and there would have been a number of little little feed troughs like what you see right there, that concrete or that stone feed trough, they would have been back in there. And when we see manger in Scripture, it literally means feed trough. It more than likely wasn't wood, it was cut out of stone. So think of the humility of Jesus. The first visitors are lowly shepherds. I mean, they had no witness in the court of law. They were unclean. They couldn't even enter the temple. And they're the first ones to come. Think of the humility. What could have been more humble? How could Jesus have said, I want to give you a sign. When my son, when I come to you, it's going to be in humility that he comes. And if you think about anything about Jesus and as he lived his life, doesn't his birth point to the humility that would be a sign of things to come? Philippians 2, you don't need to turn there. This is in theological terms called the kenosis passage where God empties himself. But just listen to the humility drip through as Paul wrote about Christ coming to earth. So he tells us in Philippians 2, verse, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality to be a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, that's the word kenosis in the Greek language, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So when he's born in strips of linen in a stone little manger in Bethlehem, 6 miles from Jerusalem, God is saying, this is a sign. This is on purpose. There's nothing random about it. It's going to point to who Jesus is. It's going to point to the humility of God himself. It's a sign of things to come. It's going to be written throughout Scripture that a humble God wants to have a relationship with humble people. Paul wrote later in Philippians that if you exalt yourself, God will put you down. If you humble yourself, God will lift you up. So it points to the humility of Jesus. It also points to the hostility towards Jesus. I just want you to think about this with me. There was no place for him. Now, people from all over Israel are coming that time to Jerusalem and then even to Bethlehem to register in their hometown. People are flying everywhere. And I'm assuming if Mary's 9 months pregnant, you know, 8 and a half, 9 months pregnant, which she was, she's going to take a 90-mile trip on a donkey upwards over the worst terrain that you've ever been in your life. I'm assuming they're going to get there a little later than everybody else is getting there. Would that be a fair assumption, ladies? We're not going very fast on that donkey. We're going to take a break every now and then. And so by the time they got there, there was no room. Now think of the significance of that. So God says in this that there's going to be a sign. He's going to be a baby. It's a sign of his humanity. He's going to be born in swaddling clothes, strips of linen, in a manger, in a stone trough. That's a sign of his humility, but it's also a sign of the hostility towards him. There was no room for him. He had to go to a manger. It was a manger. It wasn't the Marriott. There was no room for him there. Certainly, wouldn't somebody have seen pregnant Mary and said, hey, you can have my room? No one. So Joseph and Mary, being the humble people they are, traveled to Bethlehem, as they were told to do by the angel, and they found a stone trough in a little cave. It was a sign of things to come. It continues this day. It continues this day. Most everybody around this time has room for the Christmas story, the Christmas candy, the Christmas tree, the Christmas gifts. This very school that we meet in, this isn't Christmas vacation, it's called winter break. Really, we could say it's continued for a long time and it's getting worse today. And I understand that, but it's a fact. There's no room for him. It was a sign of things to come. When he came into the world, there's no room. That was a sign of things to come. God was saying, this is a sign. There's not going to be any room for him. So the no vacancy signs actually were a sign for your sake. 2 Corinthians 8:9, a couple of my favorite Christmas verses, says that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, or take out the B in there, he came poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. It was a sign. God was saying, he's going to be poor in this world. There's going to be no room for him in the end. And he's going to become poor so that you could become rich. It all points to what God's purpose was in his life. John 1:11 says he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. No, they didn't just not receive him. They killed him. They rejected him. I said last week, to ignore him is to reject him. There's no difference in God's mind. So the sign points to his humanity, his humility, all the hostility towards him. And I close with this. It also points to the heart of Jesus. This was a sign that, let me even broaden it, points to the very heart of God. Look at verse 11 and 12, if you would, at this passage of Scripture. And notice God, he's coming as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a stone trough. Why is he doing that? And it says a number of times, so you don't miss it in the passage. Look at verse 11. For unto you, literally the language could say, for you. Write it down on a piece of paper. He did this. This was a sign for you. He's born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. Look up at verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. He came and took on humanity and was wrapped around in strips of linen, and he was placed in a stone feed trough for you, for all people. What Jesus did in his birth and in his death and in his resurrection and in his ascension and his coming back was for you. What he did for you and me. Now think about this with me, and I don't want you to miss this, because I think that this final thought is the sign of all signs. If there's any significance, and I believe there is, I believe this is the ultimate significance of the sign of the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feed trough. And here's the significance. The one who was born for you is also the one who died for you. Listen, you don't need to turn there, but just listen as I read some very common verses from Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weary, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for you in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now think about this picture with me. I think Jesus, this baby, wrapped in strips of linen, laid in a stone trough, was the ultimate picture of the Savior's death. Because it says, unto you is going to be born, this guy is going to be a Savior. We know from Scripture the only way he could be a Savior is if he was sinless and he died in our place. And so God is saying, here's a sign to the shepherds and to us. You're going to find a babe wrapped in little strips of linen, and he's going to be laid in a hollowed out piece of stone. He did it for you. Matthew 1:21 says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is talking about the perfect life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. For you. Now I got to have a couple of pictures. This is a picture that we took in Israel. This is a somewhat typical tombstone. And so when they say they rolled the stone, you can see it wasn't just a, you know, perfectly circular stone. It was a carved out stone, and especially in the tomb that Jesus was laid in. And this one here, they put a band around it just so it wouldn't break up. That band of steel wouldn't have been there. There's a little trough, and that stone rolls. And so his gravesite was literally hollowed out of stone. And this is where he was laid. Now, I want you to think with me just a second. Let your imagination come with me. If you go to the next picture, inside that tomb is a little hollowed out place out of the stone where Jesus was laid. And Mary, who wrapped the little baby Jesus in strips of linen and laid him in the stone feed trough, was the same woman who watched Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take down the body of Christ, wrap him in strips of linen, and place him in a stone burial site. I think when Jesus, when the angel said to the shepherds, this is going to be a sign. It's going to be a sign of things to come. It may not seem like much to you, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, but that sign has more significance than any other sign I've ever given in my life, because it's going to point to the humanity of God. Jesus was born a human. It's going to point to the humility of God. It's going to point to the hostility towards God, but it's going to point to the heart of God where he's going to die. It's going to be a picture of him as the shepherd saw him in that stone trough wrapped in strips of linen. It's going to be a foreshadowing of one day when he dies on the cross and they lay him in the tomb. God wants us to know this Christmas season that he was born, and you celebrate it and you highlight it and you proclaim it from the rooftops. But don't you dare forget that it's not just a party for which he came. It's not a better Christmas gift or a nicer Christmas tree. It's not the lights. He came, he was born to die. The one who was born for you is the one who died for you. Do you know him? Is the sign that he gave of the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the feed trough, is that simply information to you? Is that historical fact? Or is it salvation? I read to you John 1:11. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But verse 12 says, but as many as did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Jesus was born for you, and Jesus died for you. To celebrate his birth and not surrender yourself underneath his death is a party in this lifetime. It's a judgment in the next. And I want both. I want to be able to celebrate his birth, and I want to rejoice in the cross. Amen? That's what I want to do. And I want everybody else. And he's born for you. He was born to die for you. So you must say today, holy God, as a sinner before a holy God, I need a Savior. Without Jesus, I'm lost. You have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life, period. Put a dot on it. End of sermon. Do you know his death, burial, and resurrection as the salvation of your souls?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.